Hey, Drew.
Hey, John.
So we're recording tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we need a topic, don't we?
Yeah. I had a few ideas. I was thinking we could do a mixtape. I feel we haven't done one
those
of those.
Are popular.
Yeah, people like them a lot. Or we could do, is it too early for another movie retrospectacle?
Yeah.
We should probably do that later.
Yeah, we should save that for
November, December or something. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
You know what? I've been wanting to do one on like cereal. Because I think it's a pretty wide, like we could go both wide and deep on that, you know?
Breakfast cereals. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you could talk about like the mascots and eating cereal.
The Lucky Charms guy.
Yeah, sure, him or...
You know, surely you know this. You know about his history, right? The Lucky Charms leprechaun?
What do you mean?
Well, he's like a symbol of Irish subversion.
What?
Yeah, you've never heard this?
Well, I mean,
this could be a whole podcast in and of itself. I mean, it's all there, clear as day. The Irish invasion of America starts with the Lucky Charms guy.
I mean, at most, he's a... you know, vague racial stereotype.
What
I don't
do
know
you
if
think is in Lucky Charms?
Like marshmallows, hearts?
You are so brainwashed, man. You are so out of, you don't even see it. It's plain as day.
What?
Blue moons? Have you ever seen a blue moon?
I mean, if the...
You
light...
will once the Irish take over.
I'm Irish.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And this is Awesome Spooky Month.
In the Archive!
This is the first episode... It's our yearly. Now we can call it our yearly.
Yeah, this is an annual
event.
Our favorite month.
Yeah, awesome it's... spooky month.
Ah!
As a werewolf,
we got to do that every time we say awesome spooky month. It's like the ka-chunk sound for the adventure.
You just said it, so I did the howl that time.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Do you want us to do it every time, or are you going to drop in a howl?
Maybe I'll drop it in.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
I'm going to test it right now.
All
right. It is awesome spooky month.
Ooh.
You spoke way too fast. Nowhere. I guess you can edit it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so we've planned out the entire month with some awesome spooky episodes. And this is the first one.
Yeah. This was actually on our list, I think, last year we started talking
I think we
about
built,
this.
We started the list for Awesome Spooky Month at the end of Awesome Spooky Month last year.
That's how much we've been looking forward to Awesome Spooky Month.
And this was on there from the get-go, conspiracy theories.
Theories.
Is that what we're calling it, or just conspiracies?
So.
I think conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Because conspiracies would have the potential for meaning like, these are real.
Yes. And some of them originated as theories and then were proven to be either real
or
somewhat real. Or, which is kind of fascinating.
I want to say from the outset that, and, you know, I'll speak for you, so tell me if you disagree. But you and I, nor the Archive in general, is making any statement of belief in any of these conspiracies.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, except for the one about the Lucky Charms.
Yeah,
guy,
that one is true.
I mean, that's obvious, yeah.
But the unless we otherwise say so individually, assume that we are not giving any opinion on the veracity of these theories.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good blanket statement.
Yeah.
That doesn't, however, prohibit us from talking about and endorsing how awesome some of them are.
I've got some good
ones. I mean, they are so, some of them are so absurd.
Found some really cool ones.
Yeah.
I found some creepy ones. And I found some good ones.
That's a good point too. That I think we should mention too. That like it, this, we're there's a lot of like crossover. I think when you talk about conspiracy theories, like, and I think particularly because we're in Awesome Spooky Month, the inclination might be to sway in some of the directions, like like cryptozoology or mythology. You know, stuff, urban legends, which we talked about last year,
right?
That kind of stuff. Not necessarily what we're talking about tonight. So if we exclude like a particular conspiracy, it's probably because it falls into one of those categories more than what we're talking about.
Which
but
we,
that said, some of these, I think in general, and I think the general idea of conspiracy theories always seem to include some kind of sinister intent.
Yeah, that's, I wanted to talk about that. Whenever I read a conspiracy theory or hear about one, whatever, right, there is always this underlying current of just like weirdness and creepiness for me. Whenever I like the thought that someone is planning or scheming or that there's a grand plan, you know, kind of weirds me out and scares me a little bit. And that's why I feel like, you know, it's a great spooky month topic.
Yeah. Well, and it plays off of the paranoia, like, I mean, that's it all plays off of paranoia.
Sure.
And in fact, even if like you have the most grounded theory, you know, that one that everyone can look at and say like, yeah, that's plausible.
Yeah.
The germ of that idea stems from suspicion and paranoia.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's an unseating of your norms of the stuff that you consider like stable. It's, it's like the destabilization of like the world.
Yeah.
Really. Even in the smallest terms, it still like messes with your
mind. Yeah. Yeah. You could, if it's one of those things where were it true, if it, you know, were revealed to be true, this theory or this conspiracy would sort of rock the foundation of society.
Yeah.
To some degree. Or the foundation of some organization. Like, it would have implications that go beyond, you know, just affecting one person, or, you know, it would send some sort of shockwave through something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it there's always going to be repercussions because, like, by nature, it involves multiple parties, right?
Yeah.
So there's always, like, multiple sides to it. So it's not just, like, you know, one person having done something that's a secret, you know, that can have ramifications too. But I think the more people are involved in these, the greater it's, you know, it's like
a tangled web.
Yes. It's a tangled web. It's a butterfly effect. Ooh. I don't think it's a butterfly effect, but it's one of those things where
it's not a butterfly.
It's a exponential reach.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And the longer they stay, the longer these conspiracies have life and the longer people are thinking about them, analyzing them, the more absurd they can become or the further reaching, right?
Like
things just continue to expand, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me ask you this. So I'm assuming you read up on some conspiracies. I know I did.
Oh, did I? Man, I mean, I had some that have always been sort of in the back of my mind, that stuff that I find fascinating. But this really, like, this was a great one to like actually do some serious research.
Yeah, I've learned some new ones. So basically, I have a few like quick hits, you know, that don't have a whole lot of depth to them, but I thought were interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe I thought I could get into first, just to get us going.
All right.
I don't know if you have any like that yourself.
Yeah, I can probably funnel some of these into that category.
I want to go first to a category that people would never think that I would go to. And that's a sports conspiracy.
Ooh. Oh, wait a minute.
Do you have the same
one
as me?
Well, actually, technically, I have two. One's not
really
a theory.
I saw a few, but this is the one that I
can tell
struck me the most.
It's got to be the one that I'm thinking of.
Well, is it about Michael Jordan?
No.
Okay, good. Then we have two different ones.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to hear what yours is. Mine is, I read this online somewhere, I think. All of this I read online for the most part, unless it's something that's, you know, been around for a long time that I just know about. So the conspiracy is that Michael Jordan's first retirement was not in fact a retirement, but actually a secret suspension. That he was secretly suspended by David Stern, who was the NBA commissioner at the time. I don't know if he still is, due to a gambling problem that Michael Jordan had. Accusations or claims were made some accusations or claims were made that this gambling problem led to the death of Michael Jordan's father. I don't know how. I didn't investigate very deeply.
Oh, like as sort of a repercussion
right,
of his.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the theory is that David Stern suspended him, and in order to allow Michael Jordan to save face, he said, okay, you can retire,
right,
play baseball for a while, get cleaned up, basically stop gambling.
Right, go to rehab.
And once he did, he was allowed back into the NBA, and that's why he came back later.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that a cool one?
That is great.
Yeah.
And it's not entirely beyond the realm of possibility.
Right.
I can see people wanting to look out for Michael Jordan and not, you know, wanting him to fall.
Yeah, especially being the icon of basketball that he was, right? Yeah. Like he, you know, no matter who you were, whether you followed basketball or not, you most likely knew who Michael Jordan was.
Yeah.
So he was sort of a...
he was a hero. He was a national hero, national treasure. He was an Olympian.
And and he was, you know, I think he...
Sold a lot of shoes.
He most likely, you know, for those of us who don't follow basketball, you know, was a positive sort of mascot or what have you. Know, I don't know.
Well, he was, like, well-loved beyond basketball. Yeah. Like, beyond his basketball talent, he was considered a good guy, right?
So to have
He wasn't like Pete Rose, who also got implicated with, you know, gambling issues. You know, nobody cared about what happened to Pete Rose because he was kind of a jerk.
So to have his reputation tarnished would then also tarnish the reputation of the NBA.
Yeah.
So I could see that.
In America.
Yeah. Being a problem.
Interesting. That is totally not the one that I thought of.
But what do you have?
Mine actually does also stem from the NBA.
Okay.
And it is called, it's frequently referred to as the frozen envelope.
I read about this.
Did you? Yeah. It's amazing. I'd never heard of this one before.
But I, you know what? I didn't read in detail, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, I just sort of looked at the overview of it, but basically the idea is that the NBA draft was fixed in order to align, I think it was Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, with the Knicks.
Yeah. And the theory is that this was executed by freezing the envelope with his name in it. Or wait, no. Is that how the draft works?
I don't know.
Or maybe with the Knicks. It was like the Knicks got... like the 16th pick or whatever.
Okay.
Or something like that. So the envelope that would basically determine the outcome of, you know, the order of selection was frozen prior to the drawing.
Literally frozen.
Literally put into a freezer so that when the guy who's pulling it out, when he reaches into the barrel,
which one it was.
He would feel the cold one and he would be like, ah, this is the one I need to pick.
Clever.
And of course, by the time it gets handed off to somebody else, it's already been in his hands. It's, you know, a fully untraceable method. I mean, I don't know enough about basketball to even... speculate on whether or not that is
who knows?
Likely or not likely. You,
you
know,
hear a lot about, I think, fans of sports in general. I'm going to make a broad generalization. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think they don't like the corporateness, the business, you know, the...
Oh, right,
The administrators of the
suits.
Sports. Yeah, they get in the way of the sports being played, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's... I think hockey is actually kind of rife with those kind of claims that, you know, certain teams are favored over others and players are allowed to go to, you know, this team but not that team, or whole cities are not allowed to have a good team, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to imagine, well, you know, it makes sense. Any major kind of industry like that that has very loyal fans, they're going to have suspicions.
Yeah. And there's a lot of money involved too.
Yeah, exactly.
And
wherever
there's
money to be made,
there is a conspiracy.
Oh. I have enough. So that's all my sports ones.
Okay.
Do you have any other sports ones?
Nope. I was there was the Black Sox, the Chicago White Sox of 1919, I think it was. This one actually wasn't a theory, but it was a conspiracy in which they conspired, several of them conspired to throw the World Series.
Oh.
So they were like underpaid and somewhat disgruntled with management, and so a coalition, I think there were a couple of people on the outside who aligned with some of the players and were like, okay, you guys throw the series and we will bet against the White Sox and we'll win all this money and then we'll share the winnings with
you.
And so I think there were eight players that were included in that.
And that was real.
That was that real. Happened.
That was legit. They were found out later?
Yeah. I don't think it was ever a conspiracy, though. Well, you know, it probably was. There were probably people who were like, wait a minute, this guy's pitching terrible.
Right.
You know, who probably figured it out. So it was probably a conspiracy theory at one time, but it became true. Why are you so paranoid? No. Don't be so paranoid. No. Don't be so... Baby, don't worry about it. Hate it, don't even think about it. You worry about the wrong things, the wrong thing. You worry about the wrong things, the wrong things. You worry about the wrong things, the wrong things. You worry about the wrong things, the wrong things. Tell me right now, you really wanna spend your whole life alone? A little time out might do you good, might do what's good for we be done for good. Cause I can make it good, I can make it hood, I can make it come, I can make it go. I can make it high, I can make it fly, make it touch the sky, hey, maybe so. All of the time you be up in mind, check it through my cell phone, baby, no. You wanna kill the vibe on another night, here's another fight, oh, here we go, oh, here we go, baby.
So I'm gonna take us into the world of entertainment. There's another quick one, and a recent occurrence. The theory surrounds an event that took place in 2009 at the MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh.
An infamous event that involved Kanye West, Taylor Swift, and indirectly involved Beyonce. So Taylor Swift won Best Video or something.
It was Best New Artist, I think, wasn't it?
No, it was Best Video.
Oh, okay.
It must have been.
Oh, right, because he says, yeah.
And so she gets up, you know, to accept her award, and I think she doesn't even start the speech. I think she's just about to when Kanye West leaps up onto stage and grabs the microphone, and he says, I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
But Beyonce's, and he says the name of her video or something, is the greatest music video of all time. And, you know, he gets off the stage or he's removed.
Of all time.
I can't remember. Yeah, he's just very... And they show this shot of Beyonce, and she's like, what the hell is going on, you know? And Taylor Swift looks, you know, victimized and sad, and, you know, she's also confused. So, the conspiracy is that this was all staged by the artist's agents. And I don't know, I didn't verify whether this is true, but I read that at least at that time, Kanye West and Taylor Swift were represented by the same agency.
Oh.
And that it was orchestrated by the agency and MTV. One, MTV, you know, no one was interested in the VMAs anymore.
Right.
And they needed to have some kind of thing happen to get everyone talking about it.
Yeah.
Right. So this would be that event. Everyone involved benefits from the occurrence, right? Mm-hmm. Kanye West looks, you know, like he's rebellious.
Yeah, he's a loose cannon.
He won't play by the rules. Yeah. You know, he'll jump up, he'll make his opinion known, and his fans will love that, right? They'll be like, yes, he speaks the truth, and he doesn't care who, you know, who gets in his way, right?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift looks good because she's the victim.
Everybody has
she's
sympathy
innocent.
For
yeah,
her.
Yeah, her fans are like, oh my gosh, oh, we have to support her, right?
We got
to
hug Taylor.
Yeah. Beyonce looks good because, A, the statement is made that her video was better.
Right.
Right.
So now people are like, ooh, I got to see what this video looks like.
Yeah. She's blameless in the event. She didn't make the claim.
Right.
You know, and so she also looks somewhat victimized.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if she had made the claim?
Oh, man.
If she had got up there with him.
There, yeah, that's right.
She'd be like, my video is the best.
That's right.
All time.
And starts singing.
Yeah.
And then Taylor Swift starts singing.
Yes.
And like they decide right there.
put it to a vote. What do you think?
So they sit, and it's also said that everyone knew what was going to happen except for Taylor Swift, that Kanye, you know, obviously was in on it, and maybe Beyonce too, or maybe not. I don't know. Her reaction
interesting
looked fairly real to me, but that, you know, so that Taylor would look, you know, suitably surprised,
genuinely
and like bummed out.
Oh no. I think that's what she was quoted as having said.
I'm bummed.
Oh no.
Oh no.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
good. And somewhat believable, right?
I totally believe that pretty much everything that happens at the VMAs is planned. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got an interesting one that is also, I guess it's not really entertainment. It's pop culture, though. And that is surrounding Coca-Cola.
Mm.
So in the 80s, Coke discontinued Coca-Cola, its original formula.
Right.
The 100-year-old classic formula, right?
The Which beloved. They, at the time, did not refer to as classic, right?
Right, it was just Coca-Cola. Yeah. And then they were like, hey, we got a whole new formula. New Coke. This is going to be awesome, right?
You guys are going
to love it. It's going to be the best thing ever. And, of course, everybody hated it, and except for me. And they quickly I did. I loved New Coke because it tasted like Pepsi. So then they say, okay, well, we're going to listen to the public. You guys want classic Coke back. We're going to bring it back, right? Yeah. So there are a couple of theories surrounding this.
Okay.
And one of them, they all involve basically profit, really. So one is that Coke was losing to Pepsi, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do to make the current Coke interesting again?
Right.
But don't change it so that you lose your people, right?
Right.
You create a soda that's like Pepsi, so you get people interested in it.
Yeah.
Then you get rid of it, and you bring back the old one, so then you get all the people who loved Coke interested in Coke again.
Nice.
That's one theory. The other theory, yeah. I like this one, is that they wanted to subtly make the switch from using real sugar to cheaper high fructose corn syrup, and that's how they did it. So when they reintroduce Old Coke, or Coke Classic, they're not actually saying, like, this is the exact same Coke. They're calling it Coca-Cola Classic. So it is a different formula because it doesn't use sugar. It uses corn syrup. Either one of those I like because they make Coke look bad, and that's great.
Yeah,
because Pepsi's awesome.
Well, and I read about some Coca-Cola theories, and one theory I read sort of negates those two theories in if it's true, in that the theory is Coke and Pepsi are actually owned by the same people.
Oh, I love that.
So it's really like a win-win for them, right?
Yeah.
If Coca-Cola does well, that's great. If Pepsi does well, that's great.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah. That's a great... I wonder if there are any conspiracy theories around crystal clear Pepsi and like why Pepsi. They did that. I also read... I feel like I read a quote from the people at Coke. You know, they've certainly heard this theory and apparently commented on it. And the comment was something like, sometimes we're very dumb. We're never that smart.
We're neither that dumb or that smart. Yeah.
Something like that, which is a great, great statement. Yes. I really like it when these organizations have to, the conspiracy becomes so widespread and so known that they have to issue some kind of response.
Yes. Yeah. They have to answer to it.
There's another instance of that maybe we'll get into later. I don't think I have any other quick hits. The rest of mine, depending on how much you and I talk about it.
Yeah. It depends on what you want to, how deep we want to go into this. Well, I have a one quick hit. I guess this one sort of it falls into a category of larger implications, but I think if you can call anything in this realm funny, I think this one is pretty funny simply because of the people who are involved.
The DMA one's funny.
That one is pretty funny. Yeah. But this one actually involves like death.
Oh.
So it's kind of an ill-timed demise, but so have you heard about the Kurt Cobain Courtney Love conspiracy,
right,
which was highlighted in the movie Kurt and Courtney, the quote-unquote documentary, right?
There's a lot of quote-unquote documentaries when it comes to conspiracy.
But so this one, the allegation is that Courtney Love conspired to have Kurt Cobain killed rather than him actually being a suicide, like taking his own life.
Will this conspiracy explain the reasoning behind that? Like her desire to do that?
It kind of does because, the theory, it sort of stems from the fact that she had an album, that Hole had an album that came out right after he died, right? You know, she if you look at this from the most sort of sardonic viewpoint, you know, like she gets all of the sympathy from now she's the grieving widow. Also, she has this album, and coincidentally, the songs all sort of deal with victimization and stuff. So, I mean, you can look at it from a really crass perspective and see some legitimacy behind the rationale, I guess. But, like, even as this theory is proposed in that movie, Kurt and Courtney, they then sort of draw in the elements that are supposedly involved in this conspiracy. And my favorite is this guy named El Duce, who was the lead singer of the band, I think the Mentors, which is this like hardcore punk band. And they actually, the guy, Nick Broomfield, I think is his name. He goes to interview El Duce.
Okay.
And he's like, so why did you bring me out here? No, Nick says that. And he's like, what are we going to talk about? And he's like, well, you wanted to hear about how Courtney Love hired me to whack Kurt Cobain. And like, those are the exact words that he used.
This is in the documentary.
To whack Kurt Cobain.
This is in the documentary.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find the clip because it's pretty great. His scenes in this movie are awesome.
Wow.
But what lends sort of further like insane credence to the idea is the fact that El Duce died mysteriously in like a one car accident right around the time the documentary was being made.
Wow.
So like, you know, that sort of furthers the idea like, oh, is Courtney covering her tracks? I mean, it's so ridiculous, but especially when you consider what kind of mess like Courtney Love is, and like the idea that she could sort of,
it's all a front,
hold all of this together. Yeah, maybe she is. Maybe behind it all,
she doesn't look like she could ever possibly do this.
Yeah. Oh man, I've fallen victim to it.
You fell for it. So you're right where she wants you.
I don't think I want to be anywhere. okay. Well, do we now get into the big ones?
Yeah. I feel like there's, you know what? I have one more kind of quick one, which will kind of get us into the big ones, I think. This will be a nice segue because I feel like there are two major categories, three major categories of conspiracy.
Okay.
That we could, you know, get going on. And this kind of hits two of them.
Okay.
So this is one I learned of maybe a couple of years ago. Like a friend told me about it and I dug a little deeper. The conspiracy is that the Denver International Airport.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love this one.
Was built not to be an airport, but really to hide an underground facility.
Yes.
Where the there are different. Who knows? But the claims are it could be being used by the Illuminati, the New World Order, which I thought was the Illuminati,
but there's some question.
Neo-Nazis.
Ooh, I hadn't heard that one.
Or my favorite.
Why would they need a secret?
I don't know. Or my favorite, and this I want to talk about, the Reptoids.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are the Reptoids?
We'll get there. So the claims are based or the claims were made because I think maybe the neo-Nazi thing is that the runways form a sort of swastika if you look at it from above. There are some really weird murals in the airport. There's an absolutely crazy sculpture of a horse. Have you seen it?
No.
And a completely anatomically correct horse, like ridiculously so. We'll maybe put a link to it.
Yeah,
we'll
get a link to
really,
it.
It's crazy. And there's engravings that are claimed to be like alien language or secret code throughout the airport.
Well, and then the size of it too is subject to question because it's the second largest airport in the world. It's the largest in the United States.
But it doesn't service much.
Well, I thought I'd read somewhere that it does have like the fifth largest traffic of domestic.
But
US
there was
flights,
already
but,
an airport.
Right. And it's built like so far away from everything that, you know, that makes you think like, oh, it's in a remote location.
Right.
Quote unquote remote location. I've only flown through Denver one time.
I've flown through a couple times, but I didn't know when I was flying through. And so I didn't look around, you know?
Yeah. I know. I kind of want to go just to see all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
It's totally crazy.
And you can find like whether or not, you know, whether or not this is true. What is true is the art is insane.
Yeah, I have seen the artwork.
This horse is crazy. So you can Google it. Like, there's photos of it, you know, online that you can see both the horse and the murals and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that, like, just because something is weird, like, it has to be suspicious. Yeah,
something's going on.
Something secret going on here.
So that, like I said, that I think that hits on the Illuminati.
Yes.
A world government, a one world government, a new order, what have you.
Yeah.
It also hits on aliens, which have a lot of conspiracy attached to them.
And in some cases overlap with that Illuminati.
Exactly. Well, yeah, these
world
things,
government.
Yeah, crisscross. The third category, while it is very a single event, I think is a huge one, is the JFK assassination.
Which
there's all sorts of conspiracies that also include Illuminati.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of them included aliens.
Single government. You know what? Probably. But I'm sure that some of them do.
Yeah. And so to me, those three kind of feel like everyone's heard, you know, about one aspect of each of those.
So the overlap is there's the secret organization.
Yeah.
There's the assassination of JFK.
Yeah.
And then the Denver airport is like the linchpin of those, or?
I mean, that's where they planned it.
Interesting.
I don't know. but maybe we can talk about the Illuminati.
Okay.
To begin with, which began in Bavaria. The original Illuminati was in Germany, in Bavaria. It's called Bavaria?
Bavaria.
And it was actually a...
so this was the thing. Like, there was an Illuminati.
There
it's
absolutely
historically
was.
Historically recorded that there was an Illuminati. Okay.
But they... And it was a secret order. But it was a secret order in that they were trying to eliminate prejudice, the Catholic Church domination over the government. They were trying to reduce abuses of power, and they were trying to support the education and treatment of women as intellectual equals. So pretty great.
Sounds, yeah. I mean,
like they seem like they have the right, they're on the right track.
If
right?
there were like an Illuminati magnet for your car,
yeah.
one of those ribbons,
yeah,
I
yeah.
guess it would be like an invisible ribbon.
Yeah, you can
I
see
would
it.
Totally put that on my car. It's actually out in there right now. You just can't see it because it's invisible.
And so that began, you know, with pretty altruistic, I think, goals. And it was secret. It was a sort of secret schools, I think.
Huh.
And then, you know, pretty small membership, I think. But that's where the original Illuminati started.
Okay.
But what we know of as the Illuminati, I think, is only similar in name. And I'm not actually sure why that name became the name for what people regard as the Illuminati now. But it's often interchanged... interchangeable with the New World Order, the Freemasons, right?
Yeah.
The One World Government.
Yeah, those all sort of have that overlapping quality of that it's a secret order of high ranking people, either like wealthy or a lot of political influence or both.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all working toward. Either working toward a goal of universal manipulation, like controlling everything in the world, or they're already there.
Yeah.
And that's I like that angle of it, that like everything that's happened for the last 300 years has all been planned out specifically by these people, you know, including like the rise and fall of empires and wars. And
that
and
there
stuff.
Is a goal that what I've read, you know, and like based on different theories, one of the theories I read is that their goal is to prepare the world for Armageddon, essentially. That they're establishing the new Jerusalem, and they're preparing for the coming of the Antichrist, and creating the, what did they call it? I think maybe I wrote it down. The third holy city or something.
I had not like made that link. I mean, I guess I'd heard that they were working toward a specific goal, like a preparation goal, but the way that I'd always heard it was sort of introduced by like X-Files or whatever. Like, yeah. It was like preparing the world for like delivery to some kind of alien civilization.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's weird because you get different angles on it. There's this whole alien angle on it, right?
Yeah.
That they are in contact with aliens and have been for years. That all of our technology is derived from alien technology via the Illuminati, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that we're being prepared for some sort of maybe integration or...
Oh, man. That makes me think, like, that new Apple headquarters that looks like a UFO.
Yeah.
Like, this is all... That's the ship. It's all tied together. Yeah. That's why, like, Apple technology is descended from aliens.
Yeah.
And they've used it to amass this wealth that they've now constructed a spaceship.
Or they just moved one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's secretly going to appear. Yeah. There's, like, a big cloak over... It's, like, painted like a mountain.
Then there's the religious bent
of
things where they are, well, and there have been, like with the Masons, there's a lot of claims that they are a satanic organization, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, but I feel like you get different claims. Like, it is they want to bring about Armageddon, they're for Satan and the Antichrist, or they're against, you know, they're somehow setting up so we'll be able to stop it.
Yeah, making secret preparations.
Yeah. The like you said, the coolest thing about this theory is the thought that for hundreds of years these things have been happening. These events have been taking place. It's all planned.
Yeah.
Everything's going according to plan.
Yeah.
Right. And things are,
or if it's not, it's being accounted for.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Variables corrected, are being changed. Amended. Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of people, you know, what with all of the doomsday theories, feel that everything's coming to a head very soon.
Yeah, it's always imminent.
Yeah,
it's always like right around the corner. Yeah, yeah.
With the
we're accelerating toward it.
With the Illuminati, you also have the like the Rothschilds, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who
the family
are in control of the banks, right?
Yes.
Or the federal, are they in charge of the Federal Reserve? There's weird stuff.
They founded like one of the world's largest banks or whatever.
And now the theory is that they are in fact own every bank.
Yeah, like controlling everything. Yeah, secretly, if you were able to see all of the
the tendrils,
limbs of the tree, they would all point back to them. Yeah.
Right. It's
which I mean like I can see why one would say like, oh, well, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And true, that is a possibility. I mean, anything's possible,
sure,
right?
Anything's
but like
possible.
You think about that, like think about how big the global financial system is, right?
Yeah.
And then think about how hard it is just to communicate between like the owner of a small business and like some of his or her employees.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, the chain of communication.
Yeah. Imagine you're like, if you have ever been in a management position.
Yeah.
Or if you've ever been in a position of leadership and you've had to make more than three people do something together.
Right. Yes.
And like, imagine how difficult that is. And then multiply it times, you know, a million.
Yeah. Now try imagine.
Yeah.
All of these people who have to, by virtue of their position, have to have certain decision making capabilities.
Yeah.
And yet you are going to be able to subtly influence them
in
the direction that you want.
You can't
play them against each other in some cases and be able to anticipate what their actions are going to be when they're played against each other
for hundreds of years into the future. And imagine, you know, you're the leader of these three people. you have to do all that without telling them what the true intentions are.
Yeah, you can't be like, well, this is actually part of a global plan to...
No, you have to say, well, it's because of this. And you have to tell the guy, next guy, no, 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 it's this. This is what's going on.
You need to be like cross-manipulating
and
them.
The third guy can't even know about the first two.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't like, even know that they exist. He has no idea. Yeah.
That's awesome. This is so awesome.
It's so implausible.
Yes.
And but it's that's why it's compelling too, I think. You know, despite the paranoia and the fear, I think there's some sense of like, well, wouldn't it be nice if one person was running
thing too? It's actually somewhat oddly comforting.
Yeah, if you could run something that well, like, you know, with so few issues, everything's going as planned. I mean, that'd be great.
Well, and it's sort of like owing to that, it kind of like there's that comforting withdrawal. Like, you know, it's like you either throw your hands up and say like, oh, I can't do anything, or you say, oh, well, I guess I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like it's almost like this, like it comes full circle. Like it starts with the paranoia, but the paranoia exists because you're looking for something, some kind of comfort, or, you know, something to ease your actual genuine concerns about, you know, getting through the world. Man, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's so great, though.
It's weird. There's a video that I watched maybe a year or so ago. Actually, maybe a few years ago. I can't remember what it was called. It was this really strange, like, 10-minute video. It was all digitally rendered. And it was seemingly just a weird stream of consciousness animation about, like, the government and who's pulling the strings, and like, oh, there was all this symbolism and stuff. And I watched it and was like, I saw it on Reddit, I think. Mm-hmm. And I watched it and I was like, I was so weirded out by it. I don't know. And I couldn't stop watching it. That's the thing. Like, I started and I was immediately weirded out, but it was so weird. I couldn't stop. And then I was like, I got to know what this is supposed to mean. I was so thrown by it. So I found an analysis, which was like an hour long, and I watched that. And it explained like every bit of symbolism in this thing and how it was all Illuminati and who's pulling the strings of, you know, George Bush. And now they're pulling the strings of Barack Obama. And, you know, and it talked about false flag events and like all this.
Those are pretty interesting, too.
And those are creepy.
Yeah.
Extremely creepy.
Yeah.
I think I watched the, you know, since I watched that analysis, I watched the video like two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, something about it is so unsettling that I couldn't help but watch it and be unsettled. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you still have that video?
I'm sure it's somewhere. I'll try to find it. It's probably easy to find. You know, and then like the analysts, I think, went into like who made it and who paid them to make it and what is it all about. And it was just like, what is going on? You know, it was insane. I think what also was crazy to me is like the amount of production that went into it, you know, because it's not bad animation. It's good. I mean, it's not great, but it isn't like, you know, some dude. And maybe it is. I was going to say, is that some dude in his basement, you know?
That's what they want you to think.
Yeah, but it could be.
This is too good to be the work of one man.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else on this?
Well,
I
think,
this?
Like, there were the false flag thing, which kind of ties into this because it the idea of the false flag is that it is one... nation or corporation or one entity mm-hmm. who performs an action against itself under the disguise of another nation in order to inspire a reaction.
Patriotism,
against that.
Nationalism.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's so the classic, I guess maybe the most classic example that's actually been cited was the German invasion of Poland to mm-hmm. start World War II was attributed to, initially it was believed or at least promoted by Germany that Poland was aggressing against Germany or was making motions, or mm-hmm. there was an insurgence within Poland who was anti-German
uh-huh.
and was preparing to attack Germany. And there was actually an attack on Germans that later was revealed to be a small group of German nationalists actually acting as Polish people attacking. So the whole thing was basically just a smokescreen. It was like, here's an excuse for us to invade Poland. There's the precedent there, right? There's a very recent, very modern, relatively modern precedent that that actually happens.
Right.
Which sort of adds fuel to the claims whenever someone makes them about a current event being the result of that kind of arrangement. Right. So like, and probably the most obvious one or the biggest one is 9/11.
Right.
You know, that the idea that either the government knew about it, like knew the attacks were going to happen and let them happen in order to inspire support for military action or war or, you know, something, the invasion of Iraq.
Right.
Or there's the idea that the more sort of grievous sinister implication, the idea that the government actually orchestrated it as a means of inspiring war or whatever.
Right.
And that actually, I was just reading, I was it didn't even occur to me as I was reading it, but I just read this interview with Alex Jones, who is our favorite.
I didn't even think about it.
I know. Like, he actually, the archive discovered him. Like, I feel like I don't know we would have ever seen him had we not started this show. And that's, like, one of the greatest finds, I think, that has come out of this whole thing.
And we discovered him through Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, yeah. He gave that awesome speech about how
Prometheus
was a tool of the Illuminati.
Yes,
to prepare
to tell us how the invasion. It was like a prediction.
Yeah, it's like not just a movie. And, and Ridley Scott is in coalition with the Illuminati.
Paid by the Illuminati to make this film.
That would prepare us.
Right. And he saw the script early. Alex Jones did. So he knows. This was all before the movie ever came out.
Yeah, I saw a pre-release script.
Pre-release script.
From director of Blade Runner.
He kept saying Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Prometheus. So guy. He's got a crazy voice. His voice almost sounds fake. I'm Alex Jones. Prometheus. Right?
Yeah. He just gets so worked up.
Oh, it's insane.
But he actually, I was reading, there's an interview with him in Esquire a couple months ago, and he talks about how, like, that was when 9/11 happened, like, he was the first person to suggest that it had been, or maybe he was the first person to publicly on the air suggest that it was actually a conspiracy and that the government, the United States government, had some kind of involvement or prior knowledge or whatever. And, like, immediately he lost, like, 30% of his, like, listenership. And then, like, he lost another 30%, like, as it, you know, sort of gained traction or whatever. But he stuck to his guns. And, like, as the Iraq war sort of, like, started to disintegrate, you know, as that turned into kind of a complete mess, all of a sudden people started coming back around to him and thinking, like, oh, maybe he actually knows what he's talking about. Yeah.
How many firsts do you think he has? Like, I'm sure he's the first to make claims many, like Prometheus. He must have been the first to, you know,
ascribe that to,
and like for like the one time
Illuminati
that it had, you know, relevance. He's like, yes, being interviewed.
What I wonder about though, like, is what does he or how does anyone who makes these claims, like, what kind of accountability do they have, or how do they address them when, the things that they've laid out don't take on the same stature that they're ascribing to it. So, like, that Prometheus thing, right? He's like, okay, well, this movie is designed to prepare the populace for this, you know, to mentally prepare them.
Whatever.
Like, And the movie, all anybody talks about related to that movie is how, you know, like, terrible
it
is. Or, they hated it. They couldn't finish it. You know, it was so dumb. You know? So, now, I guess you could say that he could then turn around and be like, oh, no, that's part of the plan. The idea is that the populace will reject the suggestions of the movie, and then, you know, it all plays into the plan. But, you know, I feel like that you have to be really skilled, and he is. He's a really good defender of his claims, I think, because he manages, like, he's so rabid and articulate in his rabid claims.
Rabidity.
Yeah. That he can, you know, throw those things back, you know.
Yeah, I would assume he doesn't concern himself with what the populace, what they come away with, you know, like.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he himself thought, well, I'm one of the only people who will see this movie for what it is.
Right.
There's a very small group of people that are like me. They'll get it.
Yeah.
You know, and all I can do as Alex Jones is put the truth out there.
I'm just going to say it.
I can't make anyone believe me. I'm going to try. I'm going to give them the evidence.
Right.
But, you know, it's up to them to come over to my side.
Yeah.
You know, and see everything for what it is. And so I can't imagine that he's like, why aren't they? It's not a bad movie. You know,
although I do love that that notion that secretly deep down his anger is all stems from the fact that the public didn't like Prometheus.
He wants to like Prometheus comes out. He's like, oh, good. Yes. Here we go. And he like goes to Rotten Tomatoes. He's like, what? incomprehensible? Illogical? What are they talking about? Stunning visuals, but lacks any depth or narrative structure? They don't get it! I think as I was researching, I realized we have never done an Aliens.
I know, isn't that crazy?
And that'll be a topic. Yeah. And we'll get deep into Aliens. There's two things I want to bring up. One is the Reptoids.
Okay, yeah, what are the Reptoids?
So look, I've said before, and I've said it to you before, that the royal family are lizard people, have I not?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so this lends credence to that claim.
Okay.
And I knew I heard it somewhere. And I didn't know, you know, what the theory was, what the foundations for this are, but reptilians or reptoids or reptiloids or draconians, as they're referred to, I'll just read straight from the Wikipedia here, are purported reptilian humanoids that play a prominent role in science fiction, as well as modern ufology.
Oh, good.
And conspiracy theories, okay?
Okay.
The idea of reptilians on Earth was popularized by David Icke, a conspiracy theorist who says shape-shifting reptilian people control our world by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate our societies. Icke has claimed on multiple occasions that many of the world leaders are or are possessed by reptilians attempting to gain power to rule the world. According to Icke, tall, blood-drinking, shape-shifting reptilian humanoids from the Alpha Draconis star system, now hiding in underground bases, are the force behind a worldwide conspiracy against humanity. He contends that most of the world's leaders are related to these reptilians, including George W. Bush of the United States and Queen Elizabeth II of the United Kingdom.
Look at that!
Icke's conspiracy theories now have supporters in 47 countries, and he's given lectures to crowds of up to 6,000.
man, Icke is on it.
Icke is on it. So, you know, when the royal baby thing was happening,
mm-hmm.
I made a lot of claims as to, like, what if a lizard comes out, you know?
Right.
And so there you go.
It's a pretty logical question.
There. Do you know how excited I'd be if the world leaders turned out to be reptilians?
That's fantastic.
I would applaud it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, I would have so much more faith in our leadership. You know, how exciting would that be? What if one day they just all decided, like, okay, this is it.
Pull their masks off. Well, I wanted to, like, did Ick, like, did he just see V? And
yeah,
he was
maybe.
Like, oh, yeah, this is how it happened.
Oh, I get, yeah. Oh, definitely. I see it. Yeah, I don't know where his theory stems from.
Those are great.
But it's excellent. And so the...
Well, what's the second one? The second...
Oh, right. So the reptilians are aliens, by the way. They're not from Earth.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what they were in V.
So, you know, I read a lot about UFOs and conspiracy theories around Area 51 and stuff like that. But I read an account. This is, I guess, the first account of an abduction. Like, first... publicly released, and it's an account from Betty and Barney Hill. Did you read about
this? That's my favorite. That's the one that started my passion.
Oh my gosh!
It's terrifying and it's awesome.
I read about this, and I got the creeps, and I was like, "What?" And I was like,
"You had never heard this before?
I had never heard this.
Oh my god!
Today,
Drew.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about." Betty and Barney Hill. And I want to talk about like everything related to that story.
Yeah.
However, we are running short on time.
Yep.
And we have to. I feel like we have to get to the mother of all conspiracy theories.
Oh.
Which is the JFK assassination.
Okay, yeah. So we'll talk about aliens further in a different episode. We should hit certainly the biggest conspiracy of recent time. One that I think a lot of people believe is in some form true.
Yeah.
At least in America.
Well, I feel like it really sort of kicked off the
conspiracy
wave of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
At least made them more prominent.
It gave credence, right? Like, it's a conspiracy that you can, like, there's so many threads to this one that. It's hard to believe that none of them are true, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many people involved, implicated, that have, you know, some kind of connection to it, that have motive for the assassination, you know, that you feel like, man, could it really have just been this one guy, you know?
Yeah.
So JFK, obviously, assassinated in Dallas, right? Allegedly by Lee Harvey Oswald, and then Oswald himself was later killed.
Yeah, like 3 days or
during
something.
Being transferred from one jail to another, I think,
yeah.
Or to jail by Jack Ruby.
Yes, and then specifically before he was able to like offer any kind of testimony anything like that. So there's like no, I don't think there are any statements on public record from Lee Harvey Oswald. Oh.
So there's I've written down like all the people that are involved, potentially like groups and individuals. So from what I've read, the Federal Bank is behind it or Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Yeah.
Is behind it.
At the time, the vice president
or the mafia is behind it. Or George Herbert Walker Bush is behind
it. Oh, I like that one. I haven't heard that.
Or the Illuminati is behind it. Or the CIA is behind it. Those are the ones that I have listed.
Okay.
I'm sure there are more.
It's funny because I never, I guess at least ever since I saw JFK, I've never really thought of it as being something that was... proposed or started by any one entity.
Right.
Like it seems like it's always been this fabric.
Oh,
of,
yeah, yeah.
Of
you
influence.
Mean the people who did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's either one of them or
it's multiple of them.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And when, after the assassination took place and people started to like say, hey, I think this is a conspiracy. I think something going on. They formed the United States government formed the House Select Committee on Assassinations. This is the committee that investigated whether or not it was a conspiracy, and they came to the conclusion that it was not.
Yes. The Warren Report, right?
Yes. Yeah. And years after that, I'm sure even today, people have been investigating on their own. Other groups have looked at the evidence, looked at the investigation that the committee did.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people feel that that committee did a terrible job.
Yeah.
Like, whether they're right or wrong, that they didn't really do a good job of investigating.
Yeah, their efforts are questionable.
Yeah. So that lends credence to this conspiracy idea. Mm-hmm. Should I kind of go through this list again and talk about, like, what the motives are?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
So the Federal Bank, there was a... Kennedy signed an act that gave... They wanted to get rid of silver. Like, silver, minting coins and silver, I guess, was becoming a problem. Or they were trying to reduce the amount of silver in the U.S. currency, I guess. And so he signed this act that would do that, would reduce the use of silver. It would use, I think, more paper money or something like that. I'm probably getting this wrong. But essentially, the theory is that the Federal Bank was like, or maybe it was the Reserve, was like, you're trying to take power away from us, so we're going to kill you, right? When in fact, I guess, the actual act apparently gives them more power. So that's where that becomes questionable.
Uh-huh.
That's also tied to the Illuminati in that they control the banks.
They control the banks, right?
So that's there's, you know, already one, you know, connection.
Which, I mean, just taking that one as a side
thing,
you would think that if that is the case, that the Illuminati is pulling all these strings.
Right.
You'd think they could just find a way to make the banks override whatever, you know, but... I mean, I guess they did. If that is indeed what happened, yeah.
Well, I like that the Illuminati makes these grand like events.
Yes,
to make things happen. Like, instead of being subtle or quiet.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna invite more scrutiny than has ever been applied to a single event ever in the history of all time, of all time,
of all time. LBJ.
Yeah.
Vice President to John F. Kennedy
at
the time of his assassination. The theory here is that he wanted to be president, right?
Well,
that he... Go ahead.
I've heard different things. Like, I mean, he had agendas.
Yeah.
And I think he felt that Kennedy was not listening to him or was not interested in his agendas. You know, like, he really did want to pursue, like, civil rights and stuff. Or at least this is my understanding, that he, you know, had things that he wanted to do, and he was not getting to do them, and he was sort of disrespected by Kennedy.
Right.
So there was a personal side to it,
right.
And I think that that's somewhat documented. Like
you
know, there were statements made that were like, you know, look, I'm on this ticket because Kennedy won't win, you know, any other way, and this is my, you know, path to the presidency or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've also seen, in fact, in JFK, there's the implication that he was just sort of party to this idea that we need to go to war with Vietnam.
Right.
Kennedy's not going to do it. So I think in the movie, he volunteers himself. He's like, you know, well, if you get me into the presidency, then I'll lead you to it. Yeah.
The mafia. This is, I think, one of the ones that a lot of people think holds the most water.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Harvey Oswald had connections to an anti-Cuban militant group.
Mm-hmm.
And that the mafia didn't like Cuba because a lot of their like gambling setups were outlawed, I guess, by Castro.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the U.S., I guess, was involved with Cuba.
Well, yeah, there was the Bay of Pigs incident.
Right.
Right. And some of, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the group that, the anti-Cuban group that Oswald was associated with was actually sort of secretly convened by Kennedy to go to Cuba and actually lead an assault should it come to that.
There's all these tangled, like, it's hard to keep this stuff straight.
Yeah. I mean, I know that has been documented that there was a group of people who were put on Cuba, Cuban soil, to lead an invasion, and they were not supposed to be known about. Like, the American public was not supposed to know about that. So consequentially, the perception was that Kennedy sort of left them out there. Right. You know, like they had no support from the American military.
Uh-huh.
So if the mission went wrong or if anything, you know, and ultimately it was called off, you know, yeah. like there was no, nothing was done to make sure that they were safe or that right. they were taken care of. And since it's not, it wasn't technically like a military action, they wouldn't have any benefits or, you know, right. there was nothing. They weren't part of the military.
So there, but there's some connection with the mafia there in that the...
Yeah, and they may have been funded by the mafia right, or there may have been some... Somehow that all plays in together.
Yeah, and the mafia is the one who organized the hit. Basically, they hired Lee Harvey Oswald. There's a lot of different suspicions. Either they hired Lee Harvey Oswald to kill the president, and then hired Jack Ruby to kill Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
Or they had Lee Harvey Oswald and the cop that he later shot,
uh-huh.
Tippett, I think.
Uh-huh.
Both as gunmen, and Oswald killed Tippett before Tippett could kill Oswald. And then Jack Ruby killed Oswald.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. That's good.
I think those are the only ones I read. And then obviously there's this suspicion that there's another gunman, right?
Yeah.
On the grassy knoll.
Multiple gunmen.
Which is another one that a lot of people feel is true based on evidence and sort of how the gunshot.
The magic bullet theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George Herbert Walker Bush. This one's linked with the CIA because he has a pretty long history with CIA. I think mm-hmm. he was the director for a time and obviously must have associations to this day. And this is also connected with UFOs. Apparently, Kennedy wrote, I think, at least two letters to the CIA asking for their files on UFOs, that he wanted to know more about that, and they refused to send that to him. That apparently, I guess they were like, we don't have to answer to him,
huh?
So we're not sending it. And they were getting annoyed with him trying to get, you know, more information on that,
mm-hmm.
and so had him killed for that reason.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's a good one. UFOs. Yeah. And then there's the theory that all of these parties were like working together,
right?
Like the CIA.
Everybody had something to gain, and
yeah,
so
Bush was running the CIA, who was helping Johnson become president, and they hired the mafia to do the hit. You know, like
right.
there's all this. You know, people are just like weaving this all together.
Yeah,
and it's it, and you know, there's and what there's all this legend around the event itself. You know, the assassination, and there's the footage, right? The Zapruder,
right, the Zapruder film.
Which is really, I watched it once and it was really unsettling.
Yeah.
I really wish I hadn't watched it. And then like within that film, there's like people, there's the babushka lady,
mm-hmm.
like she's got a camera. Why we need to get her angle, right? Like,
yeah. Why don't
no
we have her,
find her
footage? Yeah.
Yeah. She's never found after that. Her footage is not found. There's the grassy knoll, you know, was
smoke
there someone
scene on
there?
The grassy knoll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many shots were fired? Where did the bullets go?
Well, and then there's like the preparations that were made. Like, you know, why wasn't there a dome on the,
right,
on the car?
Right, right. And why there was like this, all the Secret Service weren't there. Like they took a different route than they were supposed to take or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Well,
and the route itself, like apparently like as a result of it, like it slowed the car down.
Right.
Slower than they would have been allowed to go. Like, you know, typical policy would have been to keep that car moving faster,
right.
but that because of the route that they took, it slowed the progression down.
Man. And then after like the body, it's Kennedy's body is apparently tampered with.
Oh yeah. His brain is missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah. That's just insane.
The president's brain is missing and there's no like accountability for that. That's insane.
Yeah. So like all of this stuff, you know,
yeah.
All the stuff that's out there that is somewhat confirmable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then there were details of the report that were like there was all this information that was sort of like withheld or mm-hmm. documents that were, I think, in fact, some of them are still classified. They're classified
yeah,
until like 2029 or
right.
something like that. Which, you know, that's sort of like that kind of thing always seems to be like, you know, well, it's protecting interests, right?
Right.
Now, they could say that it's like it's national security.
Right.
But you have to ask yourself, like, you know, so much changes so fast in politics, right? That you have to wonder, like, how could anything in that document be relevant to current national security?
Right.
But I don't know.
It's
fascinating. Like, you can totally see, even if you don't believe any of it, even if you are staunch in your belief that it was Lee Harvey Oswald, he acted alone, there was no conspiracy, you have to acknowledge that it is, like, there are so many fascinating layers to that event that you can, I feel like you can't discount.
It doesn't seem insane.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, like, there are so many factors to this, and there are seemingly so many reasons for people wanting to assassinate Kennedy.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's not hard to entertain these as possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Or even that, like, there was no conspiracy, and yet there were multiple factions trying to do it. Yeah.
Or that, you know, the conspiracy is simple. Like, there were two people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it stops. But, you know,
yeah,
still, something's missing, right? We're missing a part of the story.
Yeah.
And it seems that it's being covered up, you know? And that's, I feel like a lot of people, you know, given the facts or reading up about this, would be hard pressed to not say, okay, I'll concede, like, this, something must have gone on here.
Yeah.
And in fact, like polls and surveys confirm that. Right?
That's right. Yeah. I sort of think, I hate to keep going back to JFK because, like, I mean, it was a work of technically fiction. It was an adaptation of a book. Yeah. the man, he was a fiction. He was a collective hallucination. But, like, I that movie and that story has always seemed somewhat tragic to me because the story of JFK, the movie, is the trial.
Yeah.
Trying to bring to trial and convict someone, anyone really, who had a part in this, and thus require the government to open its files and re-examine them, which has been this, you know, they have refused. The case is closed officially. But I think there is some value, and there was a win to come out of that, in as much as it put all of this evidence out there.
Yeah,
it raised the question of whether or not you could take what the Warren report said as official word.
Right,
and the polls, like you said, overwhelmingly lean toward the assumption that we're not getting the full story.
Yeah.
That there are some details. Whether there was a conspiracy or not, there are some details that are not there.
Yeah.
We don't have the whole story, and we probably never will.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Man, I mean, there are so many great conspiracy theories. We'll have to come back to this
addendums.
One.
Yeah, we'll hit it up.
But yeah, that.
But I think we hit the big ones.
Yeah. This is a good start to really Awesome Spooky Month.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome Spooky Month.
Did you hear that?
I heard it. I heard it again. We heard it twice. It's begun.
How's that wolf get into the river?
He's got a little boat. So we'll be back next week with another episode of Awesome Spooky Month. And for now, we're going to put this in the ultra classified section of the archive.